This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line coming at you on VSiN and DraftKings Network. This show, as always, presented by DraftKings. Alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you on this special NFL betting guide release day edition of the program. Lots of NFL talk throughout the course of the next hour. Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa Resort and Casino, where I am broadcasting from. He'll be in studio with us for the final half hour of the show, so get a little bit of that behind-the-book perspective. And, of course, Palm's pressing three like we do every week. The NBA draft was last night, which ended up being a lot more interesting than I anticipated, by the way. How'd you soak everything in, Michael?
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting. You know, once you mute the TV, it became way more interesting. But just looking at the names coming through, and I had to research some of the players because I didn't know much about them. But, I mean, this French connection is remarkable, right? Yeah. Wemby went for one last year. They dominate one through three. Zach Eddie goes to the top 10. I didn't see that coming. Did you, Stormy? I thought, you know, what's his, you know, everybody wants to, you know, what was interesting is Zach went in the top 10 and Klingon moved down the board, right? I would have thought if that would have been proportional because he was, to me, he's an old school center, just like Zach is. And so because of that, I figured, okay, you know, to play with their back to the hoops, both of them could protect the rim and do all those things. But I guess the power of having a backup center is really prevalent for Memphis. I think Klingon is going to be really a good player. I really do. I know he's not a three-point shooter, which is what these teams want today, but he could do all the things you need, a little bit like what we saw – you know, Hartenstein do for the Knicks.
Klingon, he was a minus 250 favorite to go top five. His prop was set at 3.5, minus 170 to the under. He ultimately falls 7 to your point. Zach Edey, who you referenced going top 10. No, I did not expect it. But our handy dandy producer, Elliot Bowman, who's a Purdue fan, I texted him. I said, top 10? And his response, the league is catching up to what I already knew. So we knew that we had the Elliot confidence there. And then, of course, and this leads us to what's on Michael's mind today, which is always so fun to do. Find out what's top of mind for you each and every day. Dalton Connect falling to number 17, Michael. Why was that percolating in your brain today?
Yeah, because nobody explained why he fell. Now, there was a little bit of a theory that most of the people in basketball, the analytical community, they love young players. I mean, that's nothing new. Al Davis used to talk about drafting young players all the time. I don't understand how that became associated with the analytics. But, okay, so it is. Well, he's 23 years old. That's why he slipped. I mean, because he doesn't have any upward potential. He's already good. He's already come from playing at Northern Colorado to dominate the Southeast Conference. You know, and I think what happened with the Sixers, now they tell me they got a really good player. I'm not sure. I'm sure, you know, I got to watch more of him. He's a great shooter. But when you look at this, you say, wow, they must not expected him to be there. And I think a lot of teams did. The Lakers got better, there's no question, by just making that pick. And I think we'll see what happens. Today is the big day. Tonight's the big night. Where's Bronny go? That's the big night. That's all we're going to hear tonight is, where's Bronny go? Where's he going for? You know, the Lakers have 55. The Celtics have 54. They could ruin it for him.
Oh, come on.
You know, that's going to be interesting. I know. That's what's out there. That's what people are listening to. I mean, these idiots paid money to bet Bronny to go first pick overall. You know, if you're doing that, please buy the betting guide. Please, please, I urge you, if you're dumb enough to make that bet, invest in our guide. Ridiculous.
At least get something for your money. Jeez. Yeah, Michael, I made the proposition yesterday. I said the Bank of Stormy Bonantoni is open. I am taking bets for Bronny to go number one. Nobody came my way, so those people were at least wise. But I would have taken that cash gladly because it's an insane conversation, even at, you know, 250-1 odds. It's not worthwhile. But interesting conversation. I think if he gets drafted, it's 55 to the Lakers. That's really the only answer. We'll see what happens tonight. But as far as Jared McCain goes at 16, you were so up in arms yesterday. You're like, I know they're going to mess it up. It's going to be something bad. I at least like Jared McCain on the surface. And I know you're not a big NBA draft fan in general when it comes to like picks, right? And picks ultimately working out. Teams make mistakes all the time. But McCain, at least you have Duke's head coach John Shire saying that he's the, you know, most disciplined worker that he's ever seen. He's somebody that really, really cares about the game. He's going to bring that three-point shooting quality from the perimeter, which is something that the 76ers need. I was excited for you. I said, this is something that Michael can be happy about. And I'm sure a lot more 76ers fans in Philly are going to start painting their nails. So there's that.
I wanted Kanaal. I wanted him. Yeah. I wanted him. I thought like he was there. I thought, you know, there it is, a chance. I watched him. He was six, you know, he's 6'4 and a half, 6'6, somewhere in there. You know, McCain's just you have McCain and Maxey in the backcourt. You're small. You're not really good size. That's one of the issues with – that's why Maxey went 21 overall. He's just not a big – he's not a tall, linear player, which is what I would like. But, look, I give him credit. They like the player, and everybody tells me he's a hard worker, which is a huge uptick. He'll be the – you know, him and Maxey together will work hard. Meanwhile, the other guy won't work at all. So at least they'll balance itself out.
Always so cold-blooded about the big guy. I do see what you're saying, though, about Dalton Connect. And Rob Pelinka even said, quote, "We would never imagine a player as skilled and perfect for our needs available at 17. We had him unanimously top 10 out of all of our scouting boards. 30-1 tickets cashing for him to go number 17 overall. His draft position was bet down from, I think, like 9 or 10 and a half to 7 and a half and ultimately goes at 17. Okay, good draft conversation. But as I mentioned off the top, this is NFL betting guide day here at the Lombardi Line. And there are a couple best bets that you did have in the guide. You also, of course, did that write-up that we discussed in hour one about the new head coaches in the NFL this year. And it is interesting that as I go through the bets that you like most, at least in June, where things sit right now, are on two teams with new head coaches. You like the Seattle Seahawks over 7.5 wins and the Los Angeles Chargers over 8.5 wins.
Yeah, I like them both. And I think Mike Somich is in agreement with me. I know you are on in some of these cases too, because I think the AFC, the NFC West, even though it is good, I think Arizona will be improved. There's no question. I just think Seattle won 9 games last year with no defense. And they hired a defense coordinator who's going to run the defense. And the defense that he's going to run is going to allow their talent to shine brighter. I think one of the things that Mike McDonald did for the Ravens was put the players in the right spot. And I think he did a great job of showcasing their talent and their skill. And I think he'll do that for Seattle. I think Seattle's got more talent than what they were able to get out of them. Clint Hurt, the defense coordinator last year for 2 years, wasn't very good in terms of scheme, teaching fundamentals. All that's going to improve. We don't take sight of that, right? We don't ever think that practice and working on fundamentals make a difference. But in McDonald's case and in Harbaugh's case at the Chargers, it will. When you become so scheme-oriented, and that's what some teams do, is they get this scheme oriented. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this and this and this and this. You lose track. You lose your fundamentals. You lose your basics. And football is a game like golf of fundamentals and techniques. It really is. I know there's no contact in golf, but football is a fundamental technique sport like golf. And if you don't practice it every day or to be in demand by it, it's going to be hard. And I think both those coaches will.
Great hires, in my opinion, as well. And for anyone who missed it in hour one, we do have a poll up now on Michael Lombardi's X account at MLombardi NFL for which first-time head coach will have the most success with their new team. And everybody is all over the Seattle Seahawks team. To your point, Michael, 57.7% of the near 1,000 votes that have come in to this point are backing Seattle. 18.8% think that the Tennessee Titans and Brian Callahan could have the most success, 16.4% backing Gerard Mayo in New England, and just 7.1% of the vote to Panthers head coach Dave Canales. We did not include Antonio Pierce on this first-time head coach list just because he had 9 games of experience last year with the Las Vegas Raiders in an interim role. A couple comments that have come through as well. This one I thought was interesting, at Coach DeCoste. I think Brian Callahan, because we should not be sleeping on his dad coaching the O-line, huge addition. And for a team, Michael, that's been a massive issue for them. They go and address it in the draft. They go and get a coach like Bill Callahan coming over from the uptick that he did for that line with Cleveland. What do you think about that addition specifically?
Well, there's the perfect, what I'm talking about, the perfect matchup, right? It's that you needed to fix an area. Offensive line. They hired one of the best line coaches, a guy who played last year with not only backup tackles at right and left tackle, but backups to backups at tackle. And so you got to give him a ton of credit for that. I thought he was great for them last year. I really did. I thought he did a tremendous job. And I think Billy's one of the best line coaches in the league, without a doubt. That'll help Tennessee. My issue with Tennessee isn't the Billy. It's can the quarterback play good enough? Mm. I mean, can the quarterback not turn the ball over? Can the quarterback be consistent enough to make the throws on third down and put the ball in the right spot? You know, they're going to be an 11 personnel team. That's what Brian Callahan knows from Zach Thomas at the Bengals. I mean, that's
Taylor?
Who they want to be,
yeah.
Right? Zach Taylor, I'm sorry. And that's what they want to be. And so if you're going to be the 11, that means the ball's going to be in the quarterback's hands quite a bit. And I don't trust the quarterback to be consistent enough to make those plays. So that's why I'm not as high on Tennessee. And how good are they on defense, right? Last year they couldn't cover anybody. They struggled. And I think there is going to be a little bit of how do you replace Mike Vrabel? I mean, Matty Heumann said today, you know, he can't believe that Mike Vrabel's not coaching somewhere. Now, he's in Cleveland, which I think will certainly help Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, he's in our camp when it comes to that process. We all were asking that question a lot, ultimately, when Vrabel was let go. I'm not surprised, but a little disheartened to see no love for Dave Canales in year one with the Panthers, especially just considering how bad they were last year and just two wins. Even the win total expectations are more than double the production that we saw from a season ago. I think that they should, at least in year one, take a significant stride. I don't know what that's going to look like on paper in terms of wins and losses, but you never know. I'm just higher on the Panthers than most people, though, so prayers up for your girl.
You're an optimist. I love it. Me too. I am too. I think 7 wins is hard, though. Aren't they at 6.5? Or they're at 5.5?
5.5, yes. 5.5.
Six I think they can get to, yeah.
We're going to hit the break. When we come back, the top 5 reasons the VSiN guide is a must-have for any NFL bettor.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN's NFL Betting Guide is out now, and there's never been a better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new Betting Guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting tools. You'll have all the tools you need to be a more informed bettor this season. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, though, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and for a limited time, we're giving our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, usually $240. You can subscribe now for $199 using our promo code GUIDE. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to not only the guides, but everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, and more. VSiN.com/guide. It's how you can get in right now. Make sure you use that promo code GUIDE for 13 months of VSiN Pro for $199 and our all-new NFL Betting Guide. And this is a VSiN NFL Betting Guide special edition of the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, diving into best bets that we are learning from the guide, some special techniques and tips and tricks to get you set for the upcoming season in 2024. And now even our NFL Guide edition of Lombardi's List that we do every week. Michael usually ranks his top 5 of a certain subject. And today we're going to do the top 5 reasons why the NFL Guide is a must-have. So we'll start at number 5 here, Michael, where it is the fact that with a busy offseason, all of the change, we have breakdowns in this guide for each and every team in the NFL, all the need-to-know information you need.
Right, and it's so good because you're not going to remember where one guy went. Calais Campbell just signed in Miami. Do many people know that? They're a bit on vacation. Times are gone. Oh, yeah, that guy's on that team. I didn't know that. Well, stop worrying about what you didn't know. Just read the guide, buy the guide, and they'll break down every one of the 32 teams and give a comprehensive breakdown of the strengths and weaknesses now that free agency and the draft is over. To me, this is one of the best things, and you can look at the depth charts because, remember, in the betting world, we're just not betting a number. We're betting the teams that are playing, right? And we're betting the matchups of how they match up, offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, offensive line, defensive line, all those things. And to know the teams is the first step towards betting.
Yeah, it's great from all the angles you just referenced. Also, like the diversity of opinion that we have for all of the different experts and hosts that we have contributing their thoughts and opinions on the things, in addition to power ratings and schedule breakdowns and defensive and offensive rankings coming into the year, things we saw last year, things historically for each team. It's great. And also, while we're on this, one of the like sneaky parts of the guide that was one of my favorites was in each one of these individual team breakdowns, Steve Mackinnon has the line for what he thinks it should be on each game as you go through the schedule based on his own personal power rankings, but also a series trend for each game on the schedule. So I have the Ravens one just kind of randomly in front of me, but you have week one at Kansas City. The underdog has won three straight up and ATS in this head-to-head matchup. Week two at Vegas, the last six meetings went over their posted total. The list goes on. He has that for every single game on every single team on the schedule. It's unbelievable. Okay, number four on our list, Michael, goes to the write-up that you had paired with the Steve Mackinnon rankings and trends that he put in there as it pertains to head coaches in the NFL this year.
Right. So this is what makes the guide and VSiN so good is you combine the level of, okay, the eye evaluation, which is what I do. Okay. I look at statistics. I look at my eye and I use my experience. And Steve looks at trends and combined them. And when the worlds meet together, it's a pretty good bet. And I do that during the season. I read Steve every week of what he's talking about. And so we both broke down first detail of the new coaches. How is it going to work out? Like, for example, I mean, we kid about this, but this is serious. I mean, Antonio Pierce is in bankruptcy court. Did you read the filing? It's $28 million. You know, he doesn't have a $28 million contract. So he, you know, how is that going to weigh on his ability to focus and concentrate on being a new head coach, which is a hard job to begin with anyway? Think about that for a second, Stormy. You know, it's like we don't take into account somebody's sick in our family and the players are coming to work and they've got that bothering them, you know, and this is going to weigh on you. So how will that affect him as a coach? How will it affect Mayo having to take over for a legend? We used to sit around all the time in New England and talk about, I wouldn't want to follow Belichick. I don't want to follow. Who's going to follow him? Like, why would you want to walk it when history, and Steve can tell you better than I can, history has proven when you walk in for a legend, whether it's Paul Bear Bryant at Alabama or whether it's Don Shula at Miami, Jimmy Johnson did, that didn't work out as well, or George Halas in Chicago or Vince Lombardi in Green Bay, it never goes well. It's hard. And so this is what we try to break down.
Hard to be the guy after the guy, no doubt about it. Okay, as we go through our top five reasons why you need the NFL betting guide this offseason. Number three, behind-the-counter insights from bookmakers. So our guy Matt Eumanns interviewed DraftKings Sportsbook director Johnny Avello, as well as several other directors from around Vegas to learn what bettors are placing their money on to win the Super Bowl this year. And our guy Josh Applebaum gives you that contrarian thought process, shows you how to break down early betting splits for week one and throughout the season, the best way to use these to your advantage. So I think that kind of stuff is invaluable, Michael, because how often do we talk about what Vegas needs or what the sports book needs, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you can speak really well on this because you've been doing this your whole life, is understanding the difference between somebody who's watching the game and betting and someone who handicaps the game. Right. Handicappers are always different. You know, they're looking for the money to be even so they don't lose. So they're looking at what is it? But someone sets the number and there's a reason. And so when you can get behind those reasons, you know, when it looks too easy, you could speak to this too, Stormy. It's not.
Mm-hmm. We wish it was. As much as we wish it was easy, it's never that simple. And it's just great perspective that we have there in the guide. Also, I know we already mentioned, we were talking about the new head coaches, the Steve Mackinnon trends perspective, right? But there are so many other areas that the trends come through. And in this guide, we have tips and trends, way to plan out and prepare angles and approaches for the season, actionable trends as well, like the rookie quarterbacks and their slow starts, weeks one through three, 2-18-1 straight up, 5-15-1 ATS over the last 21 instances. That's one of several examples that we have here in the guide of NFL betting tips and trends that are at your fingertips.
No question. I mean, those trends are really important. And I think you have to balance the trend out, right? You don't want to just go strictly with trends, but I think you have to kind of look at it and say, wait a minute, you know, this is different. Now, what I will say sometimes about these trends that don't have a lot of data to them is you could be creating another data point, right? So this is going to create something else. You don't want to be part of another data point. So you look at them, you analyze them. But again, it's just one. Think of betting as a pie. The trends are a slice of the pie. The analytics are a slice. The eye tests are a slice. What happened last week is a sliver. It's a very small slice. So you've got to be able to do the pie correctly.
And Michael, that's why during the season, we love that segment we do on the show every now and then, is the trend your friend? Because sometimes trends are not applicable, right? So situationally, yep. Does this make sense? Are all of these factors coming together? There's so much more than just this one nugget itself. And then, of course, the top thing in our top five here for Lombardi's List on our VSiN NFL Betting Guide release day, we know you guys want the picks. We got best bets from all of our hosts and experts across the network.
And look, let's face it. If you just look at JVT's betting guide on the draft, I don't think anybody was better on the draft than JVT was. I don't care in what, and clearly better than the worldwide leader anywhere else. I mean, our guys are not going to go by what the public thinks. They're going to go by what they think. And that's really important. You're going to get an unfiltered look at the betting market. And you're going to get an unfiltered look at where you should kind of put your money. And that's really important. Because if we're all going to just say the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, what's the sense of playing the games?
No doubt about it. Which, you know, let's go there for a second. Because at the very top of the guide, every single host expert that we have as a part of this guide made their selections just quickly. Who they like in the division. Who they think are going to be the wild card playoff teams. Who's going to be playing for the AFC-NFC championship and your Super Bowl winner. And going through, found this very interesting. Across the board, in the NFC and AFC West divisions, there was only one dissenting opinion. The 49ers swept our expert picks to win the NFC West. And the Chiefs swept the AFC West, except for JVT, who you just mentioned, who chose the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he had some courage. I think what Elliot said, our producer, if you don't have the courage to go off the grid on the guide, when are you going to have it?
Yep.
You want to go off grid. Here's what we do know about, let's talk about trends. We do know that 70% of the playoff teams that made it, or 50% of the playoff teams that made it, don't repeat the next year. So who are replacing those teams? You know, and so if you don't have 50% change in your predictions, you're probably not going to be very right.
Every year, there's a team, too, that goes from worst to first in their respective division. So could the Chargers be that team? The Cincinnati Bengals, a team that a lot of folks are really high on. Another one that I found interesting, a surprise outlier going through all of those picks, was in the NFC South. Everybody across the board was taking either the Atlanta Falcons or the Saints. The lone dissenting opinion there was Wes Reynolds, who took a shot on the Carolina Panthers. Nobody, meanwhile, said, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win their fourth straight in the division. So interesting, so good. All that great nuggets, all those great nuggets and information in the betting guide that you can get today at vsin.com/guide. Mike Palm coming up for the final half hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content we have at VSiN.com as well. Best bets from our hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and of course, betting news. Speaking of which, will the NHL draft have similar chaos to what we saw last night in the NBA? Right now on the homepage, our resident NHL expert, Johnny Lazarus, has his picks and predictions for who will cross the stage when at the Sphere in Las Vegas this weekend. Plus, even as we enter the dog days of summer, not only can you find daily betting previews for games in Major League Baseball, the WNBA, and more, but with football season around the corner, we're already looking ahead. For VSiN Pro subscribers, the newly minted VSiN NFL betting guide is out now. Head to vsin.com/guide. Welcome back into the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome in for the final half hour of the show like we do every Thursday. Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa, the Golden Gate, and the D. And I mean, I guess while we have draft on the brain here quickly, how did you enjoy last night?
Well, I didn't watch. I on my phone.
Michael will say that's for the best.
Well, we're going to get into that. I don't know if Elliot forwarded you the questions.
I have not seen yet.
The pressing tree, but we're going to get it. We're going to get into
all
that.
Right, then.
So I don't want to cut into that, but we'll give a tease. I'm going to ask Michael to compare and contrast the NFL draft to the NBA draft.
Michael, don't answer yet. We'll leave it at that. Here's what we're starting then with the NFL betting guide coming out. Have you had a chance to page through it and take a look?
No. Sorry, I mean, it takes a month to go through the whole thing. But obviously, it's very detailed. You know, you could argue, Michael, that the subscription rate and all these crazy deals that Bill Ady sells, you know, 15 months and it's and all. So there's, first of all, 14 months. Now we're going to give it. Are we on the air in June next year? I mean, they're giving away June like we're not going to be on the air. But anyhow, you could argue that the separate pieces of the package are all worth the $1.99.
Yeah,
I would argue. My principal argument is the daily email is worth $1.99 that highlights it. And then I would also say that these betting guides on their own for all the sports that we do, whether it's a World Cup one-off or it's the or it's Michael, you contribute heavily and many do to the NFL guide, JVT putting together the NBA guide, what they do with the, Adam Burke and the baseball, all these different guides, hoops and the NCAA guide, you could argue they're worth $1.99 on their own. Plus, how about 24/7 access? So you don't have to watch every show every day, but you can go back, as I do, and consume them for the segments that I want to watch.
Yeah, Mike, I agree. I think that the daily email is the great way to start your day. Kind of, especially for someone like me on the East Coast who, you know, may not have watched or stayed up as late as Bill Ady does to write those to write the newsletter and get you caught up and then kind of link back. Like, I thought JVT did a wonderful job on the NBA draft and everybody who contributed to that. We were 4-1 on the picks and the eight, and JVT was, I think, 11-3 with his picks, certainly making money. So you're right. The single entity sell itself, and the football one, which is the hardest sport of all to handicap, and everybody, including myself, needs the most help in.
Well, I think it's great. It just for anybody that is trying to get caught up and figure out how they want to start their prep for the NFL season, it just takes so much of the guesswork out of it. You don't need to go to 50 different websites and have, you know, a handful of different resources. We have all of it in this one 84-page comprehensive guide. For you, as you like get set for your prep for the season, are there like specific things or traits that you're looking for to make bets, or what are some of your off-season priorities?
Well, I'm trying to so everything I want to bet is at a plus price if I'm going to do future markets and tie up my money, right? I'm not trying to lay big favorites to do certain things. Although if the opportunity presents itself and somebody's 2-1 and I think they should be minus $5, I don't mind doing that. Right now, I think these first quarterback to take a snap in the regular season markets are very interesting, and I would ask Michael, like, I keep telling myself this is too good to be true on Darnold. And this number was down to minus 140 for Darnold to take the first snap week one in Minnesota. And now it's around $283. I still think that's a tremendous value. I mean, McCarthy, maybe he's ready at week five. I mean, he was competing for the third spot 2 weeks ago. If you talk to the people in Minnesota covering the team that are at the practices every day and the beat writers, he's competing for the third spot. They'd like him to progress to be the number two when the season starts, and maybe by week five or six he's ready. But barring a major injury, like Darnold's taking the first snap and the sun's coming up tomorrow. What are your thoughts, Michael?
I think they, you know, look, I think what's the great line in Watergate? Follow the money, right? Other than this doesn't apply to the world champion Atlanta Falcons and Super Bowl champion general manager Terry Fontenot. But if you follow the money, it leads you to the answer, right? They paid Darnold money to be the starter. Now, if he gets beat out in week six, they're probably saying, okay, great. But when we kick this ball off on the first weekend of the season, you know, unless something happened where this guy just came out of nowhere, which is unlikely, Darnold's going to be the starter. That's what we paid him for. We gave him the money. That's what we gave Jacoby Brissett the money for. And so that we can nurture and develop Drake May, the fan base is going to want to see a guy play. Look, in the preseason last year, C.J. Stroud wasn't very good. Opening weekend, he got better. He got better as the year went on. But if you looked at the first preseason game, he couldn't complete a pass. It was terrible. You thought it was a blown pick, but he got better. Guys aren't ready earlier in the year. And I think by week 7, 8, or 9, if the team's doing well, okay, we don't need to make a change. But if the team's not doing well, then maybe we do need to make a change. But that insurance policy that they paid for, the Darnold policy, the Brissett policy, those are important things to do if you're trying to build the team the right way.
I think a more extreme example, but you never got as advantageous a betting number is in Pittsburgh. I don't care if Justin Fields came in there and wowed them like he, you know, like he should be the starter or he should have been the MVP many years running. Where do you go from Russell Wilson? You have to let him start. He cannot be a backup here. I mean, you might as well release him if you're not going to start in week one. Now, it never got close enough to those numbers like it did with 140 in Minnesota. It's always been the $5, $6, $7 range there. But, I mean, you can't turn back from Russell Wilson and a prima donna mentality in that case. And so it doesn't really matter what you see on the field. With what they paid him to come in there, he's got to start the season. Now, if they abandon it at some point, they do. But he's never going to be a backup there.
Correct. And, you know, they basically gave up nothing for Justin Fields. They took him as kind of like they bought him for a sixth round pick next year. They paid nothing for him and they picked up his salary. OK, so they did that. But I think to me, you're right. Look, they made again. Let's go back to the decision. As soon as they had a chance to get Wilson, they did. That tells you they wanted Wilson. It's a little bit like tonight, right? If the Lakers really want Bronny, and God knows we're going to hear about it, if they want Bronny, they should trade up to get him. Because in the NBA, you can get a second-round pick for a ham sandwich. I mean, it's ridiculous. You could just trade up, and I'll trade you a 2 and 20. I mean, they were trading away 2031 picks last night. Who's going to be alive to see those guys? Who the hell are we trading them for? You know, and so, like, if you want a player, go get him. Go get him. It tells the players you want him. You don't think it made Russell Wilson feel good about it?
The Bronny news you never thought you were going to get on an NFL show, yet here we are. But so to your guys' point, though, about the Steelers, so I agree on everything that you both said, but I'm also not laying $7 to bet it, right?
No, I'm not.
No. But what I was going to say with the Sam Darnold situation, though, at minus 280, this isn't a bet that you have to sit on all season either. You're going to get paid out after week one when he makes that start. So at least there's that element of it. What do you guys think right now about what's happening in Las Vegas? Because this is a situation where Gardner Minshew also gets paid, and the expectation is that he's going to start. But now a lot of these beat writers are coming out saying Aiden O'Connell is actually in the lead spot, and he's around plus 130.
I cannot, for me, Michael, I can't delve into this market because I don't understand the love for Aiden O'Connell. We saw on the field that he's not an NFL quarterback. In fact, I saw it at Purdue. I saw it at Purdue, Michael, that he is not an NFL quarterback. But we saw it on the field. They're trying to win games. They're trying to win games and not even attempt a pass. They went into Kansas City and won on Christmas, not completing the pass for the last three quarters. He a 3-0 game in the NFL. I mean, all the evidence is there, and yet there's this steam. I want no part of it.
Well, I mean, look, when you're sitting there contemplating whether you start Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, you know what that tells you? You don't have a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know what that's like? That's like having a pair of twos in poker. You might as well just discard the cards. Just and start all over again. Get a new hand.
Well, if you
because
can get,
you don't have a quarterback.
If you can get to the flop cheap, you can see a flop, right? But you can never go behind a flop if you don't flop a set.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I agree with you. I want nothing to do. I thought for sure Minshew would be the starter, Mike, because they paid him. But then I find out the coaches weren't involved in the decision. Like, they're not vested in this at all.
So for you, is this like a loyalty thing? For AP, because I mean, he how many times has he said that Aiden O'Connell has earned the opportunity? Which, okay, but
I don't know what game he's watching. I have no idea what he was watching to earn it. He didn't complete a pass in the second half of games.
In the game they had to win in Indianapolis, they punted four times from plus territory. That'll tell you everything you want to know about Aiden O'Connell.
On that note, palms pressing three coming up next. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Today is the day. Our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now, jam-packed with everything you need to bet this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends that you won't find anywhere else. And, of course, our experts are given their picks. They've weighed in with best bets on season win totals, futures, props, and more. Whether you're a season bettor or just getting started, our NFL Betting Guide is your ticket to making smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, we're going all out. out today. It is a VSiN NFL betting guide special across the network with expert NFL analysis, insider tips, and insight to help you start the season strong. Head to VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
Ooh, yeah. Let's go. Mike Palm, Palms Pressing 3. How do we get started?
Okay, Michael. Well, the first two are themed. Michael, I know your second favorite sport behind the NFL is actually the NBA, and you love the 76ers experience. Last night, the league held their draft. You may be the foremost expert living today on the NFL draft. Compare and contrast the NFL draft and the NBA draft.
Well, the NBA draft is an entertainment show. I mean, really, they should have Krista Thompson come in, and it should be the E! Network to handle it, because it's about style. It's about interviews. It has nothing to do with how the players fit the team. It's all about fashion. It's Page Six. It's like, what girlfriend did he kiss? Kiss his mama. We'll go talk about this. It's nothing about how is the player going to impact the team that we're playing. Whereas at least in the NFL draft, you could talk about strategy. You could talk about trades. The NFL draft, we don't change hats every 27 seconds. We don't have the commissioner coming up. Oh, by the way, down the road, we're going to make a trade. We'll get back to you on that one. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's the most poorly run. I don't know who runs it for the worldwide leader, but whoever runs it, I wouldn't give them my shopping list to go out and shop for groceries. That's how bad they are.
Michael, your camera even just shook just now. That's how up in arms you are about this. So why?
It's a joke.
Why
I love
the NBA
I'm
draft?
A draft, Nick. I love the draft. Where's Woj? Where did they put Woj? Is he with Sammy Gravano? Is he in witness protection? I mean, where's Woj? He's got all the data, the information. He's talking. Well, they don't want Woj to. But they don't want Woj to tell the picks. It takes you 8 hours. I mean, you know, they went to commercial, and the Sixers were due on the clock, so they stopped the clock to give the Sixers more time. Like, what is that? What are we doing? Like, I'm sitting there waiting like patience on a monument for discipline. I'm waiting for the pick to come out. I want to go to sleep. Give me the pick. I'm done with you. All right.
Michael,
no, of course not.
Michael, real quickly. Why is the NBA draft like that with trades?
Because of the collective bargaining agreement. For some stupid reason, because free agency doesn't start till July 1st, so they technically can't make any trades. So that this pick here, it can't be way, you know, it's like it's not really the pick. It makes no sense. If you're going to put it on television, put it on July 1st. We'll have a bonanza. We're not doing anything July 1st. It's July 4th weekend. We'll celebrate. We'll have hot dogs, hamburgers, and the NBA draft. Why not?
You know what I learned last night? That although Dr. James Naismith created this game of basketball right here in the USA, the real cradle of basketball is in Paris, France. All right. All right, question two, Michael. Let's get back to reality. Speaking of the NFL draft, I want you to educate everyone, including myself. The league informed the teams this week that it will not be conducting a supplemental draft. This is now the fourth time in the last 5 years the supplemental draft wasn't conducted. Explain to the viewers and listeners what the supplemental NFL draft is, how you as an executive approached it during your time in upper management, and why it isn't conducted nearly as often as it was in the past.
Well, because of the transfer rules that have changed dramatically since the time I started in the league in 1984, the supplemental draft was typically a place for players who graduated and didn't want to go back to school but didn't qualify for the draft early enough in the April draft. Or if a player couldn't get into a school that he was trying to transfer to because of academic reasons, or if a player got thrown out of a school and he had nowhere to go, so he applied for the hardship of the supplemental draft. Well, those conditions are all gone now, because the reality of it is you can transfer at a moment's notice. Nobody has to sit out. If you went from Ohio State and transferred to Michigan, you had to wait 2 years before you can go play in the old days. Today, you could just go. You could take NIL money from Ohio State and drive over to Ann Arbor and get more NIL money. There's no rules. So I think we've seen the last of the supplemental draft. It used to be the supplemental draft was was the picks that were in the order of the regular draft. But once the Bernie Kosar draft happened, where the Browns traded with Buffalo to get the first pick and then they picked Kosar, they flipped those so they put them back in a lottery so no one would know. But there were players at times. Both Brian Bosworth was in the supplemental draft. Bernie Kosar was in there. There were players in this draft
Chris
at times.
Carter. Chris
the
Carter.
The only Hall of Famer out of the supplemental draft. There were 9 Pro Bowlers, including Bernie Kosar, out of the supplemental draft. So it's not insignificant in the history of the NFL. But as you say, I think, Michael, it's going the way of the dodo. All right, third and final question here, Michael. I think an interesting future market to bet, and one that is certainly growing in terms of handle, is the first coach to get fired market. Now, obviously, you've got to handicap a few things, including which teams you think are going to get off to poor starts and which ownership / GM / president is willing to pull the trigger on a certain coach. But upcoming for this year in the first coach to get fired draft, can you identify one or more coaches that you think the bettors should focus on, Michael?
Well, I think you have to go back and say who almost got fired last year, right? So we have the great Robert Saleh, who is teaching a course in media relationships at Seton Hall this offseason. If you like to attend it, he'll be able to win all your conferences there because he's a master once he gets in front of that podium. And then you've got Dennis Allen, you know, who if they don't start, I don't know if Mickey Loomis would do that, right? I mean, the teams that are going to not be very good, when you look at it, you know, New England, it's a first-year coach. Carolina's a first-year coach. I don't see that. But if Dallas just somehow starts poorly, I could see that, right? If Jacksonville starts poorly, could I see them making a change? No. But today's comments by Shah Khan indicate that he wasn't happy with what they did at the end of the year. And I don't think building a brand new stadium is going to make him any happier. So, I mean, for me, I would lean towards Dennis Allen. I don't see Woody making a change with the great Robert Saleh, because I think at the end of the day, they'll be competitive enough with that defense where it won't be that bad. It won't be as bad as it looks. But look, if Nathaniel Hackett made it through an entire season without getting fired, you got to wonder, you know, who will get fired. So that's my answer. Probably would land on if Dennis Allen doesn't start well and has a bad year. I think that would be the one because he was in trouble last year. Nick Sirianni was in trouble. So was Mike McCarthy.
I want to ask you this. I looked at this market and I said, what about Matt Nagy? You've got him the number one pick. They have a soft first 10 weeks of the schedule. Eberflus in Chicago. What if Chicago goes bad? They're supposed to be at least 6-4 through 10 games the way their schedule is built. It's a perfect landing spot for Caleb with a strong defense and an early schedule where you don't have to play all these NFC North giants. Is that a possibility, Michael?
Well, who would they give it to? Who's on the staff that they can give it to? You know, that's the issue, right? Are they going to give it to Shane Waldron? He just got there. You know, that's the other issue. If you don't have somebody that you feel like you could give it to, whereas if you fired, you know, you could give it to Mike Zimmer if you fire Mike McCarthy. But I don't think, unless it starts bad there, Jerry typically, I mean, he didn't do that. So I think you have to have somebody in place that you could turn it over to and feel like you can get the ship back to port.
You know, my third question was almost about Jacksonville, and you brought it up, so I know I'm going to run you into a wall, but in 45 seconds, what did Shad Khan really mean when he says it's an organizational failure?
Well, I think he meant that the coach better get it in gear, because here's what people forget, right? I know everybody loves Dougie and all that. Dougie was the second choice. Byron Leftwich's job. He turned it down because he didn't want to work with Trent Baalke. They've offered the job to Leftwich, and they picketed in front of the building. They wanted Leftwich badly, and the fans came and picketed to get Baalke fired. But Khan stayed true to his word and didn't. And so to me, that is, you're the second choice. You better come through. I just gave this quarterback a ton of money. I expect you to turn something around. It's all messed up. It's disorganized there. I think they're trying to do the right thing. I just think it's really been hard for them to find the right people.
Now, crazy to see how that season fell apart for them last year. Also, I was saying the other day how disappointing it is that if the Jets actually do have a good season, that you can't give Coach of the Year to Aaron Rodgers, because shouldn't he be the one that should actually, you know, he's the leader of the group? That's it for today. Thank you to Michael Lombardi.
Nice shirt. We're doing fashion all next week. Don't worry. Nice shirt today.
Hey, I got to say, Survivor's almost double what it was last year.
You'll love to see. Oh, and wow. I did that for Father's Day for my dad, by the way. I took your recommendation.
You
we made it happen. Pablo Torre finds out, and Sharp Money coming up next.